Well, it is a blessing to be here today. It is nice to come into the Sabbath for a rest, for enjoyment, for fellowship, seeking Yahweh's face to do His will, to look into the Word that Yahweh has given us, that we might live by it and live better, because these laws that we're given to obey are for our own good. Now, we read through Numbers chapter 15 today, and there's a number of things that we don't do in there today. We are giving up, we are providing sacrifices still, but they're of the spiritual nature. We don't find that we necessarily have to wear anything to show our obedience or to be compelled to be obedient, because Yahweh's Spirit provides that help. And Yahshua said He'll never forsake nor leave us. So we have an assurance that the Word can be brought to our minds and to help us to walk in the way we should. But we have to go through the Word, and this last week we did go out, continuing with the Man on the Street episodes of the Revealing the Truth, which Elder John was so gracious to suggest. It's been a good thing. We've had some good episodes. We've met some good people. In fact, one of our guests is here because of that. And so we're delighted to have met who we met, and to have had the conversations that we've had, and to share the Word and to go out and proclaim the coming kingdom and the good news of Yahshua the Messiah, and let people know that our Heavenly Father has a name, and to let people know that there is forgiveness of sins, and that there is a way of life that can be lived that will be a blessing if we would just live it. And we are trying to live it and be in the Spirit. We're striving to be in the Spirit and in truth. And when we went out, we asked some questions about prophecy. It seems like that's an interest today, and it has been in generations past. But especially now, with some of the things that are going on in the world, we have the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, saying he is for a peace package or a peace proposal type of thing that will help give the Palestinians their own state. Not only is he for this, Obama is for this, the Pope is for this, the United Nations is for this. It seems like everyone is for this. And so we may see it in our lifetime. But that's just one of the things that's going on today. In talking with those out, and we were able to talk to quite a few. I was pleasantly surprised that there were a number of people willing to talk, and some were quite insightful and had good insight and information that we agree with. Everything from knowing the feasts of Yahweh to obedience to the commandments, and reading the Bible all the way through, and continuing to do these type of things. But there are others that we talk to that they say, well, yeah, I go to church. Boy, what a mixed bag that is. I mean, and I can recognize that. I understand where he's coming from, because one of the former organizations that I was with was a mixed bag. You wondered, are some of these people even converted? You wonder sometimes. And there are difficulties and troubles, and you know, Peter says there'll be those that will rise up among, maybe it was Paul, there'll be those that will rise up among you and, you know, give different doctrines and stuff and cause problems. That does happen. So we do see that. It's foretold. It happened in the past. It will happen, no doubt, in the future. But when we look at some of the prophecies, one of the first questions that was asked, just to get a response, to see where people are at in their understanding, to make them think, what are some of the prophecies mentioned in the Bible, and do we see some of these being fulfilled today? That's the question. Well, one of the interesting things, if you'll turn over to Matthew 23 and verse 34, one of the interesting things that we see that must take place, and I think is starting to take place, is that those in Jerusalem will need to start acknowledging the Messiah and the name of Yahweh. And we'll see why that is. Matthew 23 and verse 34. We find Yahshua's own words here. And he's basically chiding those in Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often have I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Now we find here a quote from Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. This is what the people are to say. Now what's happening in Jerusalem, in Israel right now, is there is a messianic revolution in a sense, that there are more and more believers in the Messiah coming out of Judaism. Understanding that, hey, you know, it's been almost 2,000 years since the first century. So here we have some people coming and starting to understand, and I think starting to say, blessed is he, the Messiah, who comes in the name of Yahweh. That's Strong's 3068. He was quoting from the Old Testament. This is not Greek. He spoke Aramaic. He spoke Hebrew. We could go to some scriptures for that. But he's telling the people, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And of course, he was restoring the name of Yahweh because it had been put into disuse. He did that. We see that in John 17. But there's 10,000 plus messianic believers in Jerusalem right now. Now, some I do think are coming to the understanding that the name of the Messiah is Yahshua, but there's still a lot of Yeshua out there. And we believe and understand through the studies that we've done that it's actually Yahshua, not Yeshua. It's not Hallelujah, it's Hallelujah. And it's Yah who rides upon the deserts. We find these scriptures give us insight, and we are understanding that the Messiah's name means Yahweh's salvation. So if we look at the scripture, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh, with that understanding, I think we have some depth there to what is being said. But the messianic believers in Jerusalem are being ridiculed. There are troubles for the children in the schools because other students that find out that they're messianic, that they believe in the Messiah, are being taunted and bullied. And they're having a hard time. They're coming home and crying to their parents saying, you know, what's happening? We believe in the Messiah, and we're being picked on. We're being ridiculed. And it's interesting because, you know, Scripture does talk that we'll suffer for his namesake. We'll suffer for him. Even the little children, it seems like, are suffering by acknowledging that there is a Messiah. But that's the culture there. And we find different things going on. But what are some of the prophecies mentioned in the Bible, and do we see some of these being fulfilled today? You know, if you look in any of the commentaries today, no doubt you'll find Yahweh's name. It's that prevalent. And though it may be more prevalent here in America, it's overflowing into other countries, other nations. The scholarship is there. And if anyone is looking into commentaries when researching the Bible to see what it says, they will no doubt come across Yahweh's name. It's there. Another thing that we find is happening is deception. Deception will take place. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Deception. Can we say that we see deception today? I think we can, even among those who claim to know and understand the truth of Yahweh's word. 1 Timothy 4:1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. How bad could those doctrines be? I think pretty bad. You know, I was watching a program recently that gave some statistics. I don't know if this is true, but I suspect that they tried to make sure that this was accurate. But it said 6 out of 10 Christians believe that you can go to heaven without the Messiah. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. One is we don't believe that we're going to go to heaven when we die because Scripture teaches that the dead know nothing. You can look in Ecclesiastes. There's no wisdom, no understanding, no forethought, no planning in the grave where we're going. That's a first death. But there's a resurrection. The Bible talks about a first resurrection. It talks about a second resurrection. Some have said, well, there must be three resurrections or four. Well, we find at least two. And there's other scriptures that talk about, you know, no one has ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man, speaking of Yahshua. And we know he did ascend. We know that he was changed. In a sense, he was resurrected. And he is called the first of the first, a reference to first fruits. Hopefully, we're part of the first resurrection that's coming. But it's coming. Hasn't happened yet. But 6 out of 10 Christians believe that they can go to heaven without the Messiah. Well, our basic understanding is there's no way to the Father except through the Son. Yahweh calls. Yahshua chooses. We find that there has to be an order. And even the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, the Father is at the top. The Son of the Father, Messiah, is there. And then under him, you know, the men, the husbands, we are. Then the wives and the children. You know, there's an order. But for us to go to the Messiah, we have to go through the Son. I'm not saying the wives have to go through their husbands in saying all this, but I just want to clarify that. I hear laughter in the back room there, in the control room. You know, I was in the post office the other day. One of the workers that was off duty actually came in, and she said something. She's having a bad time. She said, you know, she started to say H-E-L-L with something like, H-E-L-L with it. Sorry for our young people here. Don't repeat that. She said something about, maybe there's some other way of saying it. I said, yeah, you could say to Gehenna with it. She said to Gehenna, and I said, yeah, that's what the Savior said to even the people at the time. And they all knew what that was. It was a place of destruction. It was a fiery pit where people would throw their refuge, their garbage. And she goes, really? I didn't know that. Some of the basic, simple things that we find in Scriptures, people aren't really aware of. Another statistic. 1 out of 3 Christians believe the Savior sinned. I emailed a gentleman, or was emailing back and forth to a gentleman who claimed this, and he claimed to be a bishop too. I don't know what denomination he was claiming to be a bishop of. But he claimed that the Messiah sinned. And basically our conversation ended at that point. I think it was actually getting into tithing, whether or not that's biblical. You know, and we went back and forth a little bit on that. But then he said, well, you know, these laws, the Messiah sinned, so we don't have to do them anymore. Really? We're done. You know, I didn't want to go any further with that, because what good would it do if he has that mindset? But, you know, that particular situation, maybe I should have taken the time and sent him some scriptures concerning how Yahshua never sinned, that he was a spotless, blameless lamb, the Passover lamb, which had to be spotless, blameless. 2 Peter talks about being spotless and blameless, and if you're not, then you're false. You're not doing what's right. He's actually talking about false teachers, about false teachers having spots and being of blame and pushing past the law of Yahweh. It's not to be done. And if we find ourselves in any situation like that, you better pull back real quick, because it's a death sentence long term if one persists and is defiant, as we read in Numbers chapter 15, in sin. But 1 out of 3 Christians believe the Savior sinned. So I think a lot of them are saying, well, I can do whatever the Gehenna I want. Well, maybe they have that attitude. It's the attitude. I can do whatever I want. Really? Makes no sense. But that's deception. And I think we're seeing that taking place. 2 Timothy 3:1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. How bad is it going to get? It's actually not too bad. We're able to walk in the park, talk, do some of these things. I love walking in the park, seeing the flowers, seeing some of these things, because it kind of reminds me of what the coming kingdom will be like. Pristine, trimmed, nice. It won't be that way initially, because there's going to be tribulation that comes. Walls are going to fall down. Cities are going to be destroyed. There's going to have to be rebuilding. That is coming. But first, the tribulation has to come. So it's all fitting in with Yahweh's plan of how he works things out. 2 Timothy 3 and chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3.
2 Peter.
I'm sorry, 2 Timothy.
Oh.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. I'm not telling you anything new. This has been foretold for centuries. But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self. They'll be self-willed. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Irreconcilable. My wife and I were kidding because we had someone, we listened to someone, they were, the wording was a little funny, and we just went back and forth on it. But anyway, it goes on. Malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. Haters of good. How bad is that? Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of Yahweh, holding to a form of righteousness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such as these. And I think we could say any of these we should put out of the assembly. They shouldn't be here because they'll leaven the whole lump. And we don't want leavening to proceed throughout the assembly. So we talk to people like this. We get them on their knees repenting, or we get them out. That's one of the things, one of the two things that has to happen. Another thing that we will find is wars in various places. You know, I think a lot of people tended to wake up during 9/11 through, you know, some started to look into their Bibles, started going to their church, started to, question, well, you know, how close are we to the end? Some things are happening. But Scripture talks about wars and rumors of wars in various places. Cultures will rise and kingdoms will rise trying to be preeminent. You know, Islam wants to rule the world. Russia wants what it wants, and it has shown it will attack its neighbors to get what it wants. I think it was Georgia that they went into and attacked. You know, I dare say that the good old U.S. of A. has done the same thing with Iraq for oil. You know, are we seeing some of these things? Even today. There will be famines and earthquakes. Haiti, Africa, North Korea. Of course, that's man-made famine because they're taking all the resources and building their war machines and starving the people by doing so. But parts of India, parts of Australia, with recent severe drought that they've had, saw a picture where the ground is all cracked and there were cattle dead from lack of water, famine, lack of food, lack of water. If you would, turn to Matthew 24, 4 through 8. We'll take a look at what we've just reviewed. Matthew chapter 24, 4 through 8. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. And Yahshua answered and said to them, see to it, of course he's answering his disciples. They want to know, well, what will be the sign of the end of the age? Well, Yahshua knows. He says, and Yahshua answered and said to them, Matthew 24, verse 4, see to it that no one misleads you. Deception. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will mislead many. Again, deception, misleading. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. But here's some encouragement. See that you are not frightened. We can stand on the promises that Yahweh provides. He provides protection. He provides the things that his people need. But Yahshua said, see that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. So there's more coming. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. There was one just the other day. Pretty sizable in China. Yeah, I think it was in China. But, I mean, all over the place. And you hear of even riots, thinking of the nations against nations. I mean, 1 out of 10 Chinese are Muslim. Did you know that? 1 out of 10. There were recently riots in China that had to be put down by the government. Not a lot was spoken about it, but at least 150 people died because of these. And what it was is the Muslims wanted their rights. We want what we want, and we want it now. And the Muslims, at least these terrorist type of cells that are around, they're pretty adamant. And they'll torch buildings. They will kill people. They will demand their way. So, since 9/11, I think people are starting to understand what the nature is of some of these people out there. But it says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, in various places there will be famines, earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Now, I know I've talked about some of the, how bad it can get in some respects. How bad it could get here, how bad it can get in other places. And I don't think we've seen anything yet. And that can be disheartening. But notice that Yahshua is saying, look, don't be afraid. These are just merely things, beginning of birth pains. You know, the end is not yet. He's saying, relax. Don't worry about it. There's still more. When you look at Matthew 24, it's almost like there's two stages. It's like sending a rocket up, and you have that initial booster that gets the rocket up, but then that falls off, and there's a secondary booster that gets it out in through the atmosphere. Well, the second stage, what will that be like? Well, the second stage will be something like this. Believers will be attacked by the people and will be hated, beaten, and killed. Anarchy. Some of that's happening today. Recently, a missionary, he wasn't a sacred name missionary, but he believed in the Messiah. He believes in the Messiah. He believes similar to what we believe. I mean, if someone was asked us, what are your beliefs? We would tell them, well, if it's a Christian asking us, we'd tell them, well, our belief is somewhat like yours. We believe in the Messiah. We believe in the Heavenly Father. We believe that the Son came and gave His life for our life. But there's where the similarities tend to end. So there's deception out there. I was there, in part. But we've come out, and we've been given more. And we've been looking at some of the deeper things in Scripture and understanding more. Because Yahweh has helped us, and He's helping us to learn more. The believers will be attacked by people and will be hated, beaten, and killed. There's another one in India. Again, a Christian group over there. Over in Iraq, you have Sunnis and Shiites, and you have Islam and the Book of Quran and these type of things going on over there. You also have Christians over there. There's a community of 25,000, and they are being protected by their own people. Of course, they cry out to the Heavenly Father for help, but they have AK-47s around the perimeters of their camp, because if they didn't, they would be easy pickings for the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Islamic factions, terrorists, what have you, over there. They would go in and kill them. And they would go in and kill them. That's what the book of the Quran tells them in various places to do that. As much as we'd like to see Islam as a religion of peace, in many respects, we see people that are not very peaceful. It says many believers, Scripture talks about things will happen, and many believers will fall away. Many. You know, when we looked at 1 Timothy 4:7, it was some. And I looked up the wording in both, and it did mean some or a group. But here, many in Matthew 24, as we'll look at here, really does mean many, a lot. So believers will fall away. Is that believers that are really worshiping Yahweh truthfully, wholeheartedly, in spirit and in truth? Or is it some that are just kind of seeing the way in part, but are really not really finding all the truth that there is? I'm not really sure. But a major magazine publication, I think it was Newsweek, had a cross on the front of it recently with the words, "The Decline of Christianity in America." There was a couple who had moved from Europe here to the States. She was a Jew. He was, I guess we could just say a Gentile, wasn't of Judah. But they were describing what it's like over in Europe right now. The churches are emptying. There's no one there to attend services. She said, being a Jew, she wore enough and looked enough like a Jew, I guess, where people recognized her as a Jew. And she was taunted in the streets, fearful at times, belittled, bullied, just like the children in Jerusalem, because they believe in the Messiah. She believes in the Messiah too, and the same thing is happening. You'll suffer. Scripture says you'll suffer for my name's sake. I think we'll suffer maybe a little bit more when we tell people about Yahshua's name, because they'll reject it. There is something coming that's going to be so bad that believers will be attacked, will be hated, will be killed. It will cause many believers to fall away. But this couple said what's happening in Europe is coming to America. And what's happening in Europe is Islam is growing. They are working on a multi-million dollar project of a huge mosque, very fancy design. It still has a dome that you typically see when looking at a mosque. But it's growing. Another thing you'll find is believers will betray, or I think we could say slander one another, after turning from the Messiah. That's interesting. Believers will betray one another after turning away from the Messiah. If you're following the Messiah, you're keeping your eyes focused on Him, you're going to be doing what He does, because we're following His example. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Yahshua. Live as He did, following in His Father's footsteps, so to speak, because He did nothing that His Father wouldn't have. You know, he kept in line with His Father's will, is what I'm trying to say. And so we need to do that as well. Well, we find also that false prophets will rise and deceive. I still remember this Mexican Messiah who had a cigar and a glass of bourbon in his hand. And he was deceiving people. I couldn't believe it. How could that person deceive anybody? It was a joke. And yet, people were following him. And we see other deception. Carrie called home, or maybe someone called here from Hawaii. Or I shouldn't say home, it's not home now, but where you formerly were. And they said people are getting caught up in this Mayan calendar prophecy, 2012, winter solstice, December 21st. Something big's going to happen. People are going up into the Mauka, the mountains over in Hawaii, setting up camp, waiting, you know. It's weird. People are getting caught up in things that they shouldn't be getting caught up in. Deception. False prophets will rise and deceive. But I think that some will be not as silly, or stupid, I should say, maybe, as we find some of these that are, you know, smoking a cigar, drinking a glass, having women around them, and saying that they're Messiah and walking around having followers. I think there's going to be some false teachers out there that are really going to wow some people and look very righteous. You find that, you know, is that any wonder? Because even the devil can parade around as an angel of light. So why not as ministers as well? We find that there'll be an increase of lawlessness, which will cause many to lose compassion over all love for one another. Do we find any of that happening? I remember that when Carrie and I went down to Albuquerque, you know, just before we went, there was an instance over here in Colombia where a lady had her baby cut out of her stomach. That's insane. That's insane wickedness. Stuff that we haven't seen before. I mean, I've never seen that before. It's just like going into the schools, you know, 40, 50 years ago. Maybe gum up on the wall. A spit wad up on the ceiling. That was the extent of it. Now kids are packing guns, knives, doing shootings, stabbings. Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. You know? It's bad. But we went down to Albuquerque, and the same thing happened. Some woman had the baby cut out of her. And we heard this again recently. It happened somewhere. But that's utter wickedness. But it says there'll be an increase of lawlessness, and it'll cause many to lose compassion and overall love for one another. I'm paraphrasing. We're actually going to get into the scripture here. But it says also that the coming kingdom of Yahweh will be preached throughout every nation. Let's go to Matthew 24, starting in verse 9. Second stage. This is where it starts to really get heavy. Now, before, Yahshua said, Don't be frightened. You know, all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. But after that, the contractions get heavy. They get closer together, and troubles abound. Matthew 24, starting in verse 9. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation because it actually puts sin in where it says in other translations, lawlessness. And I appreciate that because sin is lawlessness. That's how it's defined in Scripture, 1 John 3:4. But Matthew 24, starting in verse 9 through 14, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated over all the world because you are my followers, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Still, in all of this, good news. Yahshua is saying, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Isn't that what we read in Revelation 2 and 3? To the assemblies. If you overcome, you'll make it. And it goes on here and says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. I was reading an article about this newspaper that's going worldwide. They're doing it through the process of translation software. It's kind of neat, but they're kind of being ridiculed at this point because some of the phrases just don't sound right. You know, like China went through the dirt to get to the market or something. You know, just odd statements because the software isn't refined, and they have people working on it. They think, you know, within a year they'll get it better to where their paper can go into all these different languages around the world. I know that there's one assembly that's striving to do this. I know that we've actually have had translators work on translations so we can get the word out into Tagalog and to Telugu and some of these other languages. But it's a process. But I think that as believers in different areas, you'll see on the back of your program that there is a congregation of brethren in Myanmar, formerly Burma. And they are understanding Yahweh's name, Yahshua's name, the commandments that we're to be doing. They understand the clean food laws versus, you know, unclean, these type of things. But they're striving to do Yahweh's will. And they're able to talk to others in their language, into the Chin, C-H-I-N language, and spreading the word as best that they can. So I think Yahweh's working it out to where he's getting others from other nations involved and starting to get the word out more that way. But it's Yahweh's spirit. It's Yahweh's will. It's his doing. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh. So we see a number of things here brought out in Matthew 24. And when going through Matthew 24, you can almost see a parallel with the sequence of the four horses of Revelation 6. The white, the red, the black, the pale green horse. The four horsemen or horses of the apocalypse, I think it's referred to. False worship, war, famine, death. It's all said to be coming. Another thing that's coming is a one-world government with a beast and a false prophet. And they will be established before Yahshua returns. Now, it used to be that you'd only hear from a few people that there were secret plans to make a one-world government a reality. I call them conspiracy theorists. But that was pretty prominent. I think we still have a bit of that today. But now we hear presidents and other world leaders talking openly about having a new world order and also a unified currency. Now, it hasn't been within the last year that estimates on having a united global currency implemented it would take like 10 years. They've just said that it will only take about 5 years. You know, maybe they'll say, oh, it'll only take a couple of years or a year to implement it. It could come rather fast. China, within the last year, purchased, get this, 400 tons of gold. Where'd they get that? 400 tons. That's one of the biggest purchases they've ever made to have that much gold brought in. But the good news is, you know, as these things come, they'll go. And Revelation 19:19, if you want to turn there, it says, "And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone." So we're going to see things taken care of. So getting back to what Yahshua said, you know, don't worry. Especially at the start of all this, because it's just the beginning. But even in the thick of it, Yahweh has protection for his people. I think it's in the trumpet blast. If you look at the fifth trumpet, there's protection for those that have the mark and seal of Yahweh. And I think that seal is actually on the forehead, if you look at it. It's Revelation 9 and verse 4. "And they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who did not have the seal of Elohim on their foreheads." And what is that? Read Revelation 14:1 about the seal on the forehead and the Father's name, the Son's name. So many are saying, you know, well, we'll be raptured. The church will be raptured. You hear that. You hear about a secret rapture. There's no such thing as a secret rapture. It says that Messiah's return will be as lightning is from the east to the west. There'll be a trumpet blast. When we go through the trumpets, you find the last trump. That's when Yahshua returns. And it's a trumpet blast. People will hear it. No one will be, oh, what's going on? Where did my friend go? You know, it's nonsense. I think that could be one of the doctrines of demons that is talked about in Scripture, the rapture. Oh, Dave, you're getting us down again, all this gloom and doom. Let's go on to the next question. that question that was asked, what are some of the prophecies mentioned in the Bible, and do we see some of these being fulfilled today? I think we could be at the forefront of these things. I think we see some of these things taking place. I think we see wickedness that we have not seen before in society, and it seems to be just beginning worse. But concerning the prophecies for Israel, what needs to take place before the Savior returns, specifically with Israel? Well, if you would, turn to Ezekiel 37 and verse 21. You know, Israel, and this was brought up, it seemed like a lot of those that we had talked to recognized that Israel needed to be restored. But we heard things like, you know, the promised people, the Jews. That's a bit of a deception because it's not a complete truth. The chosen people are really Israel, and that's all 12 tribes. And it's for anyone who joins with Israel that Yahweh is truly protecting and working with and helping. But that's a whole other study in itself. Ezekiel 37, verse 21. Say to them, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among all the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Now this is looked at by prophecy teachers and talked about as being, well, this is Israel restored. Well, I think we see Israel being restored as part of, this particular verse is part of that overall prophecy. But it's not complete. There's still some things that will need to take place. We find that there will need to be a peace process or peace treaty, something to lower the walls in Israel. Because right now the walls are up. The walls are up to prevent people from shooting into Israel. I think they have it over on the Gaza Strip there. I saw something the other day. And the wall, just it looked like the wall of China over in Israel. The walls are up. In Ezekiel 38:11, notice what it says here. And you, speaking of Gog, of Magog, and some say that's Russia, some say it might even be Germany, because there's some evidence that Germany are part of the descendants of Assyria. And Assyria has been a tool in Yahweh's hands. Everyone looks at Russia. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I think we'll find out when it comes, for sure. But it says, and you, Gog and Magog, will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars and gates. That does not describe Israel today. That describes a time that we haven't seen, because ever since they got into the land, it's been trouble for the Jews there, for those that have come into the land of Israel. They've had to defend themselves. I think the first day they were back, they had to defend themselves. It's just been ongoing. But Yahweh has seen them through many difficulties, because Yahweh's word is going to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 38, verse 18, shows that these that are at rest, that are in unwalled villages, that live securely, that have no bars or gates, is in fact Israel. Verse 18 of Ezekiel 38, it will come about on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares Yahweh Elohim, that my fury will mount up in anger. And as you go on there, you'll see that there is a parallel to the tribulation or the day of Yahweh that is spoken of in Scripture. Joel 2 talks about the day of Yahweh, a terrible time, a day of destruction, darkness, and gloom. Terrible times during that time. And we're not there yet. I think we have quite a bit of time to reach out, to try to help people understand, to try to reach out to Jew and Gentile alike, to try to reach out to the nations with open arms and say, hey, there's a way of life that we should be living. You know, come join with us so that we can enter into the kingdom together. I mean, these are some of the things that we need to be letting people know. And for those that are called by Yahweh, they'll start to understand. and hopefully Satan won't get to them so much that they fall away. But we understand that that will happen, that there will be those that will start to understand, but then they'll fall away because of the cares of this life or because of just not solid ground that they're putting their roots into. But again, looking back to Matthew 23 and verse 34, Jerusalem will need to start acknowledging the Messiah and Yahweh's name. That's clear. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often have I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Clear. Very understandable. Those in Jerusalem need to start understanding that the Messiah is coming and that the name of his father is Yahweh, that his name is, in fact, holds the father's name, Yahshua. We have the man of sin to be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. This all has to happen before the Savior returns. Again, thinking about the doctrine of rapture, the idea that he could come today. I hear that all the time through the ministers or preaching on TV. And yet they have millions of dollars to proclaim this garbage, rapture. Scripture doesn't teach us anything like a secret rapture, this doctrine that's out there. He says, 2 Thessalonians 2:2, let no one in any way deceive you. Look out, be aware, don't be deceived. For it will not come, that is the return of the Messiah, unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called deity or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of Yahweh, displaying himself as being Yahweh. That's something else that we need to see for things to come about before the Savior returns. There needs to be some sort of temple reestablished. Could be, they've got blocks, cornerstones already hewn out. But will they get a full temple built? Could be there'll be more like a tabernacle. And there's discussion among the scholars about that. I know one even said, I'm not even going to get into that because there's so much debate about it. But it is possible, I do think. We have to keep our minds open about prophecy. Could it be this way? Sure, it could be that way. Could it be this way? Sure, it could be that way. We think about the mark of the beast. Is that coming? Yeah, I think it is coming. Does it have to be a physical mark? Well, I tend to think it could be. Does it have to be a spiritual mark? I certainly think it could be. I think it could be both. It doesn't have to be necessarily one or the other. It can be both. They said in one report I heard, and I can't verify it. I mean, this is what they've said. In the year 2017, both Carrie and I heard it, and we both started counting on our fingers. Is that going to be, because, the Bible talks about a seven-year pattern. And then within the middle of that, the man of sin is going to walk into the Holy of Holies, show himself as being false. But yeah, they have this little chip, and it's supposed to be implemented in the year 2017. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. But if they try to offer it to me, I'm going to say, sorry, I don't think so. This book tells me not to take anything like that. And yet I've heard, with some nerve I might add, people have said, well, I don't care, I'll take it, because it's spiritual, it's not physical. Could be physical and spiritual. Doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual. Now, I'm not wanting to make fun of anybody. I'm just saying, we can't say for sure about some things. So we have to keep an open mind about some of these prophecies. That's the point. I think we'll know when it happens for sure. But we are given some insight, and Yahweh tells his servants, lets his servants know what's happening before it happens, I think. Find that in Amos. But Sam, the Son of Man will be revealed. So, you know, concerning prophecies for Israel, what needs to take place before the Savior returns? Quite a bit. Quite frankly, quite a bit. We haven't really seen nothing yet, I think, when it comes to what's coming. But I think we do see some things. Now, a final question that was asked after asking these questions. The question was asked, what type of things are you or should you be doing in preparing for the Savior's return? This is a good question. I mean, we should be thinking about what we need to be doing. We should be ready. I think at the forefront, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38 brings to remembrance what we should be doing. It says, and this was Peter speaking after those spoke up and say, well, what shall we do? Because they were pierced to the heart, knowing that they had a part in the Savior's death, that they needed to do something. And we've all had a part in, you know, the reason why Yahshua died. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. And we all need to get our lives right and make it right. But it's not without help. We can't do it by ourselves. And yet people are out there saying, oh, we can get to heaven without... Maybe I shouldn't, you know, make fun of that too much. But, I mean, there are those saying that they can get to heaven without going through the Messiah, for example. But even that thought, going to heaven, that's not even accurate according to the Scripture. I mean, eventually, I mean, during the resurrection, yeah, there's, being spirit beings, you'll be able to go into some different realms, different areas. But Acts chapter 2, 37 through 38. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, I think he tells us today, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Yahweh's Spirit in our lives to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to open up our minds to the Word. And in part, this happens even beforehand because Acts chapter 5, verse 32 and others talk about being obedient before we even receive the Spirit. It's there. It's in Yahweh's Word. And one of the things that we need to make sure of is that we have pure worship. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to Elohim and to the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. I do think that this is talking about worship, pure worship, being chaste, being not defiled with false religions, mothers of harlotry. You know, the false worship, I think, is a symbolism we see here. It says, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. No lie. We're going to be raptured. The law was done away with. The Messiah sinned. They're lies. Plain and simple. Lies. But here it says, those that are redeemed have no lie. They're worshiping Yahweh in a pure way. according to his word. And that's the way it should be, in spirit and in truth. What type of things are you or should you be doing? I should say we. I mean, what type of things are we or should we be doing in preparing for the Savior's return? Well, we are to be commandment keepers. It says the saints in Revelation 14:9 says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of Yahweh and their faith in Yahshua. It's twofold. It's not one without the other, you know, one or the other. It's both. And yet you have Christianity proclaiming, you know, faith in Yahshua, but not the law. You have Judah proclaiming the law, but not the Messiah for the most part. Yahweh says he's going to bring both houses together in his hand. I think there's people starting to understand, we've started to understand, that it's not one without the other, it's both. We have to have the law of Yahweh and be obedient to it. We have to have the faith in Yahshua the Messiah and follow him. And follow in that spirit. And it's hard sometimes. Paul struggled. We struggle. And yet we're to be blameless, spotless. We are to attain to a higher calling. How do we do it? 1 Peter 1. If you would, turn there. 1 Peter 1. And we'll close with Peter's writings here. You know, Elder Don and Elder Roger... both spoke at Pentecost about Peter and what he had to say about in preparing for the future and these type of things. There is much wisdom here and much instruction. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. As obedient children... Scripture talks about disobedient children, but this is talking about obedient children. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely in the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also as all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And, you know, in the things that we're to do, this message will go out to those that have not really repented. They're kind of on the fence. They really need to repent and turn away from their life, their former lifestyle, and start being obedient. It's the only way to receive the Spirit, to be submissive to the Spirit that is calling you. That's the only way. And it has to be through the Messiah. Let's turn over to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, we'll close with this. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, starting in 2. Let's see, I better make sure that that's correct. And we do this. We check ourselves. Each year we keep the feast. We check ourselves, make sure that we're doing what's right. That we're not proclaiming some untruth. Actually, I think we want to start down in verse 5. I think I wrote it down wrong here. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, righteousness, and your righteousness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful, in the true knowledge of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. So what is true knowledge? It's growing in these things, so that we're neither useless nor unfruitful. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. This is talking to the brethren. This is talking to those in Messiah. But I think even those that aren't in Messiah can learn from this and start turning and start doing. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Master, our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you. What good news is that? That's extremely good news. All the pain, all the suffering, all the tribulation, all the trouble, all the murders, all the lying, all the trouble that we see today will be put to an end. And we're to start growing as if we're living in the kingdom right now. But we're sojourners. We're looking for the land that's coming. We're looking for the coming kingdom. We're looking to do what's right. And I think in looking at all these prophecies and thinking about what's coming, it's encouraging to know that we've been shown a snapshot of what's coming, knowing that if we persevere, if we overcome, that if we do the things that are pleasing in Yahweh's sight, that we'll be blessed. We won't be cursed. We'll be protected. We'll live forever. That is the promise. Review Revelation 2 and 3. It's all prophecy, basically, when it talks about those that overcome and the rewards that will be given. There are rewards. Not for sitting on the fence, though. The things that are coming are going to knock people off the fence, I do believe. In the meantime, I think we know what we need to be doing. As Yahshua said, we need to be about our Father's business. So praise Father Yahweh. All glory and honor belongs to Him. To Yahshua.